Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Hey, Mike. Doing fine.
Good time for another poem. This week, we're going to look at osteoarthritis. I hope you're doing okay down there in Athens, Georgia.
Yeah, it's cooled off. Beautiful fall. Got some friends coming in for the weekend to watch a football game.
Good. Let's talk about a problem that may face those football players in the future, osteoarthritis. Yeah. Is osteoarthritis a disease, or is it a normal part of aging?
You know, it is a common part of aging. There are lots of older people who don't have any, but lots even more who do. So I think it's a normal consequence of aging, or at least a common consequence of aging. I mean, you know, you live long enough, dementia becomes 60%. Is that normal? I mean, I think it's still a disease.
Right.
And I mean, it's a good question. I mean, you know, bone density will decrease. When does that become a disease? Is it when it causes clinical symptoms?
Right.
You know, I mean, I would think if I have, you know, I have pain in my left knee, if I, you know, do too much and it's due to, you know, medial compartment osteoarthritis, I mean, that's,
right.
It's hard for me to convince myself that's normal, you know.
Osteoarthritis, obviously a common condition due to cartilage breakdown and bone remodeling and then perhaps some overgrowth. Osteoarthritis, as we know, can be primary, in other words, unrelated to any other condition, or can be secondary as a result of trauma or perhaps septic arthritis or even developmental defects. Management has been focused on the relief of pain, and there's a whole potpourri of things that we've tried, starting with medications, and we'll talk about those in a moment, the application of heat and rest and limited exercise to retain a range of motion and even occasional surgery. When you look at x-rays, sometimes you can see changes, particularly thinning of the joint space and subchondral bone sclerosis. This week's poem focuses on treatment with medications. It asks the clinical question, is glycosamine or chondroitin alone or in combination more effective than an NSAID or a placebo to treat radiographically substantiated osteoarthritis of the knee? This article was published in the Annals of Rheumatologic Diseases. Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this is a six-month or a follow-up to a six-month study that was initially published in the New England Journal. And this is the two-year follow-up from that study. So they found 522 patients with osteoarthritis who had completed this initial study and were willing to continue in their masked treatment for another 18 months. So they still didn't know what they were getting. The average patient in the study was 56 years old. They'd had knee osteoarthritis symptoms for 10 years, and they had grade 2 or 3 changes on x-ray. So moderate to severe osteoarthritis. They all had some intact joint space of at least 2 millimeters. The average pain score was 48 out of 80, so you know, non-trivial kind of amount of pain. They had a number of different treatments, glucosamine 500 milligrams 3 times a day, or chondroitin 400 3 times a day, or both, or Celebrex 200 milligrams once a day, or placebo. Everything was, you know, as I said, placebo-controlled, and the patients were allowed to use acetaminophen up to 4 grams a day. And so if they felt whatever they were being assigned wasn't working, they could use the Tylenol sort of as needed. They basically, for every treatment, including placebo, the WOMAC score, which is sort of the standard pain score, dropped to less than 30 from 48 within the first few months of the study, and it stayed there through the rest of the 2 years of follow-up. The same percentage of patients in each group had at least a 20% improvement in pain scores, and that's a clinically important improvement. And the amount of acetaminophen was similar between groups. So it's not like the placebo group was using a lot more acetaminophen than some of the other groups. Initially, the combination of glucosamine and chondroitin in the first 6 months of the study was more effective in patients with severe pain, but this wasn't sustained in the long term. One of the issues that Alan Shaughnessy, who wrote this review, initially brings up, and Alan is a pharmacologist, is that patients were taking pills all day long. There were, you know, three a day for most of these, and they were actually taking placebo pills. So even the Celebrex person who took once a day Celebrex had two other placebo pills a day to take. They were taking all these Tylenols. And there, that really has been shown in previous studies to enhance the placebo effect because they are constantly treating themselves by popping these pills, even if they are placebos. So the bottom line is all of these treatments, chondroitin, glucosamine, combination, Celebrex, placebo, were similarly effective in the long run in terms of decreasing pain that's associated with fairly severe and long-standing osteoarthritis of the knee. So interesting, as one of those folks, it certainly gives me a bit of pause in terms of, you know, choosing a treatment. But I think my takeaway is, you know, gosh, if they all work about the same as placebo, why don't we use something that's really, really safe, like acetaminophen, preferably?
Interesting. I mean, and placebo obviously works only when the patient doesn't know that it's a placebo. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think it if you're going to go and take an M&M or something and tell yourself it's a placebo,
yeah.
I'm not sure that's going to work.
The brown ones do work, though. The brown ones do work.
Okay, the brown ones. Okay, well, that's great.
Not everybody knows that.
Anyways, it does remind us, though, that you know, anywhere between 20 and 30% of patients in all the studies that look at pain control for any condition respond to a placebo. And it's one of the reasons that you and I and lots of others have advocated, you know, clinical trials that compare drugs not only to a placebo, but to the standard drug that's used in the community as well.
There was actually a study in this month's Family Medicine, the journal Family Medicine. It's from the Society of Teachers of Family Medicine. You can go get it free online, stfm.org, and click on the link for Family Medicine. John Hickner and some colleagues wrote a really nice article on, you know, are doctors actually using placebos in practice? And surprisingly, while there were actually some using a placebo capsule that their pharmacist made up, and they regularly used it in practice, which I thought was interesting. So they're using certain drugs, active medications, knowing that they don't work, but thinking the harm is low, and I'm just using it as a placebo to help them feel better. So very interesting article, and I'd recommend that our listeners go and check that out.
We'll talk again next week, Mark. Thanks for your advice. Have a good week.
All right. Talk to you then, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.